You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really happy to have with me once again Alistair MacLeod. He has a background as a stockbroker, a banker, an economist, and he's a senior fellow at the Gold Money Foundation and head of research at Gold Money. And you should really look for his weekly missives that he writes. He's an essay, a serious thought about what is happening and why things are going the way they are in the markets. So he's writes every Thursday. It's one of those things I look forward to receiving in my inbox every Thursday. Or you go to goldmoney.com is the place you need to go to the Gold Money, the research page at Gold Money every week on Thursdays. Thank you for joining me again, Alistair.
That's my pleasure, Jay.
It's always good to have you with me, and I would like to have you comment a bit about your March 25th article titled Biden's Last Throw of the Geopolitical Dice. In providing an overview in that article, you stated, and I quote, "In a continuing Cold War, America is already on the back foot." So could you describe for us what you mean by America being on the back foot?
Well, I think America has been on the back foot for some time in the war, if you like, of the hegemons, if I can put it that way. You have America on one side and you have the partnership of Russia and China on the other. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is that the founder of geopolitics was a chap called Halford Mackinder. And he wrote a paper for the Royal Geographic Society back in 1905, which posited that he who controls the world island controls the world. And his definition of the world island basically was between the Volga and the Yangtze River. Mm-hmm. This is a resource-rich area, and of course it's governed by a combination of Russia and China. And since they threw off the mantles of anti-capitalistic socialism, if mm-hmm. I can just put it that way, they have gradually been working together, building into a mutual power base based on, if you like, their sharing of the continent, their sharing of the world island, and Russia's very rich resources and her energy. And Russia is the largest exporter of energy in the world, even more than Saudi Arabia, because, wow. You know, with Russia, we're also including natural gas as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're looking at a very powerful combination which governs really the vast majority of Asia. And on top of that, China has, over the last decade or two, extended her influence into the other part of the world island, which basically is Africa. Mm-hmm. And she now controls Africa. In anywhere you go in Africa. And I remember I was doing some business in Zambia, and they've got a rather antiquated telephone system. I called someone in the capital there, got an all lines are busy message in English, and then the same message, not in Chinyanga, which is the local language, not in French, but in Chinese. And that just tells you all you need to know. Because, of course, Zambia used to be northern Rhodesia. And, of course, they've got the copper mines up there in the north, which are of great interest to China. So you can see why China has extended her interests in those directions. And the other thing is that, of course, she's built the Twin Silk Roads. There's the overland. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, for example, Zanussi, which is a white goods manufacturer in Italy, has stuff manufactured in its factories or, if you like, sort of under contract in China. It's then put into these containers and comes over by rail, and it's delivered literally within a week, rather than having to go all the way around, the sort of the sea routes. Mm-hmm. So, and the sea routes are also important, and spurs off it, joining up with the Silk Road itself, bringing mm-hmm. in Iran. I mean, Iran is the third member, the third serious member of this evolving situation. So what we're looking at, if you're taking the whole of the world island, we are looking at a bare majority of the world's population, basically out of the influence of the US dollar. And this is a very serious situation, because while international trade is still mainly US dollar, and certainly the purchase of all commodities are done internationally, mm-hmm. priced in US dollars, you can see how you've got this sleeping giant there who actually is sort of semi-detached to the dollar. And not only that, but has ambitions to use its own currencies in the fullness of time. They have been very smart about the way they have run things. And we saw this particularly under President Trump, because at virtually every provocation from the Americans, the Chinese and the Russians did not respond. Mm-hmm. Anything they did was very quiet. It was out of the headlines. I mean, for example, the attempt to destabilize Syria. I mean, the mm-hmm. Russians were there as well, and they were giving covert support to the Syrian government, along with the Turks. So you can see mm-hmm. that. In that situation, I mean, America was on the back foot. And I think one of the sensible things that President Trump did was try and disengage from that theater. But of course, he was prevented from doing so because this was not a policy which was acceptable to Langley. I mean, Langley basically, I think, has a huge influence on the president when it comes to geopolitics. I mean, this happens when you get a permanent establishment. Mm-hmm. It's very, very hard to run against it. So mm-hmm. That was a big, big problem. Anyway, the whole point of it is that China and Russia between them now have probably more economic power than America. And the problem is that America, I mean, I think people in the administration, you know, the sort of the people who, are the sort of long-time staffers, do actually understand this problem. They know that they're fighting a difficult battle, and they think they're trying to stop the slide. But I think there are others in the Biden administration who actually, I would, I hope it wouldn't be too offensive, but say they're a bit wet behind the ears when it comes to these issues. Now, Biden himself, of course, has had a long history of involvement with foreign affairs, being on, committees and all the rest of it. So I think that he does have some knowledge of what is involved, but it's very much, I think, in the Langley mold. I mm-hmm. would expect Langley to take the view that from their point of view, President Biden is a safe pair of hands, which basically means that he will continue doing what Langley wants.
And what the Obama administration basically carried out before Trump, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. An extension of that, yeah.
So what we're talking about here is this rising competition between the hegemons, the yes. U.S. on the one hand, and the Chinese and Russians coming together on the other. You have this massive amount of natural resources, energy, as you say. Russia is the largest energy producer. Of course, if you're saying Iran is part of this serious and they are an energy giant as well. Clearly, China needs energy. At the same time, the United States and the West is talking about going green and using windmills. China is very serious about securing its petrol, I guess, isn't it? It understands that you need that in order to be a rising power and for prosperity, frankly.
Yes, exactly that. And I mean, certainly, I think perhaps part of the sort of unwritten strategy from the West about oil is they see that Russia is now the largest exporter. Mm-hmm. And there is no doubt that Saudi Arabia is drifting out of the American sphere of influence. I mean, she doesn't supply any oil to America for a start. And there's another interesting point, because I interviewed a director of one of the Swiss refiners, I think back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And they were incredibly busy. And one of the things they were doing is they were taking gold in LBMA bars out of Arab ownership and recasting them into kilo bars, the Chinese standard, four nines. And returning them to the owners, or, you know, the owners' vaulting arrangements, which is interesting, because that clearly shows that the strategic thinking in the Middle East is very much that the future is, if you like, Halford Mackinder's World Island, not America. And this matters because I think from an American point of view, and I think from Biden's point of view, sort of very much a change from the way Trump looked at it. One thing which does make sense is to remove the power that Russia, Iran, Middle East has over energy by promoting the decarbonization of fuel. And this is why I think that it makes certainly sense for Europe, if you like. It makes sense of their pursuit of trying to reduce dependency on fossil fuels.
Well, it's certainly not limitless, that's for sure, and it's getting harder and harder to find and produce oil from. So that's a reality for sure. Where does that leave then, Alistair? Maybe you can just point out where that leaves North and South America, Britain and Japan and Australia, some of those that aren't included in that, area that Halford Mackinder is talking about.
Yes. What I did in that article is that I described quite a few of the nations in the continents that you mentioned as fence sitters. I mean, I certainly knew this in Africa, because you would find that local politicians, you know, would take money off whoever was giving him most money. And, you know, it basically, it would end up going into his Swiss bank account. Things are different now. I mean, last time I went to Grenada, which was, what, about 4 years ago, the Chinese were building a bridge for the government in Grenada. You know, and it was financed by the Chinese. It was staffed by Chinese, you know, sort of civil engineers and so on. And some of the locals were employed on it. I mean, it's a very different thing. The way the Chinese do things is that they try and control the whole project. And this is very different from the sort of hegemony approach of the Americans in the past, who have, you know, either sort of, you know, chucked money in under the pretense of some sort of scheme. There would have been World Bank supervision, or African Development Bank supervision, or something like that. And I think the fence sitters nowadays are very much in Latin America. I mean, look at Chile. She exports so much copper ore, and silver ore, and lithium to China. I mean, so you know, these trade links are there, and it's also true of Brazil too. And of course, you know, they have conferences which you know, are sort of the Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, the BRICS. You know, so that is a separate movement. But you can see how the Russian and Chinese partnerships' tentacles are really stretching around the world. And the only really firm allies I think that America has of any significance are the Five Eyes Partnership, which basically is Canada, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand, you know, along with the US. Right. And you know, you can see this. You can see this in the relationship between Australia and China. I mean, they're at the moment having huge, great trade spats. They really are. And why is this? the reason for it is that Australia is very, very firmly in that Five Eyes American camp. But this is the problem. I mean, if you look at the populations of the Five Eyes, I mean, you've got the US itself, which is what, you're 328 million. You've got Canada, which is another 30 million or something. You've got Australia, another 30 million. You've got New Zealand, which is about 8 million. And you've got us, we're about 60. Now, in terms of numbers, we're up against over half the world's population. So, while we've got the military power, and this is another point I made in the article, military power, yes, we've got a lot of military power, and there's no way that we're going to have a military conflict because of that. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, we're losing the economic power. I mean, we've traduced our own economies to such an extent, while China in particular has continued to build hers, that we're just losing out. We're losing out because we are mishandling our economies. And this is such a serious point, which I don't think anyone really talks about, but they should talk about. Because if you're really serious about retaining world power for whatever reasons, then you've got to have an economy which allows you to deliver what is necessary to retain that power.
Yeah, indeed. And I guess then what I'm hearing you say is Europe would be drifting towards the Chinese sphere as well. They would be part of that Mackinder's area that he's talking about.
Yes. I mean, obviously not directly, but you will be aware that there's the Nord Stream project. Which is a joint project between Russia and Germany. And the idea of that from the Russian point of view is basically to cut the Ukraine out of the transitional pipeline, as it were, which goes across their territory and which they collect fees. And the Ukraine has been a poor payer to Russia in the past. So, there is a sort of mini geopolitical thing there. And remember also that the terminal of the overland Silk Road is, in Europe. And it's got, you can put your, a Mercedes car on the train in Stuttgart and it's in the showroom, 8 days later. Bam, just that. And so the ties between China, Russia, and Europe are increasing all the time on a trade basis, not so much on a political basis. But remember also that the EU is trying to build its own separate army, if you like, so that it is no longer, just sort of dominated by NATO, which is dominated by America and, Britain to a lesser extent. They're trying to go their own way militarily. And I think that to me also indicates that they are seeking to move away from the influence of America more and more. And now that Britain is not in the EU, it's going to be a lot easier for them to do that, because I think that we would have been regarded by America, and we would certainly regard ourselves as being very much, that Five Eyes relationship, the special relationship with America. We were America's representative in a sense in Brussels. Sure. Europe, you're absolutely right. That I think I would describe as a modern version of the African fence sitters. It's on trade rather than bribery with more money than the Russians were prepared to give.
Well, Alistair, it seems as though America thinks that it can depend on its military. It doesn't seem to make the connection about its indebtedness and its loss of financial superiority. And it sort of thinks they don't see the connection. Americans tend not to see the connection between our fiscal irresponsibility or our decline economically with military strength. It seems to me at some point in time, a declining economy is going to affect an ability to maintain a military and retain even the military power.
In theory, I think you're right. But there is a tendency, I think, for any government, and I hate to say this, but to put its own military ahead of its own people. So the US economy can continue to run down and maintain a military, I think, for some considerable time. It's really because of where the you know, the sort of the politicians' priorities are rather than the priorities of the people. And of course, defense is the most important thing. I mean, if you've got a problem at home, start a war abroad. And the people at home will be behind you. That's very crude. It's a very crude statement, but you can sort of see the sort of reasoning which we've seen so often in American presidents.
Yeah, Wag the Dog, it was called. I think there was a movie after that even. In any event, this whole idea that we have had, the dollar has been supported by the petrodollar. It has become the petrodollar, as you know, after Nixon disconnected gold from money in 1971. With Saudi Arabia migrating towards the Chinese sphere then, what does that do to the petrodollar?
Well, the petrodollar really is, I mean, in that sense, is gone. I mean, what you were talking about really is, you know, you had these huge, great monetary surpluses building up in the Middle East, and Saudi Arabia in particular came to an agreement with Kissinger and Nixon that they would take payment in dollars, deposit the dollars in the U.S. banks, and then the U.S. banks could lend that money out to Latin America. And of course, we know what happened Latin America in the late 70s. So, you know, that roundabout stopped a long time ago. What we now have, I think, is really a rather delicate balance. China understands the weaknesses of the American position and also the weaknesses of the EU position. I mean, that, you know, you don't have to be a genius to see see just how, you know, you've got a failing state. It's not a failing state, but it's a collection of states under a failing umbrella, if you like, of the European Commission. Now, these are very, very serious events, and I don't think that the China-Russia partnership would want to be, I mean, particularly the Chinese. I think the Russians care slightly less about this, but the Chinese don't want to be seen as setting off a catastrophe in the West. Mm-hmm. So I don't see them taking moves, if you like, to destabilize the dollar or to destabilize the euro. If anything, I think it'd be very careful to try and ensure that these major currencies are not destabilized. And I think they would rather find a more evolutionary way of you know, expanding their control over what's called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. 21 states of, you know, members and associates and all the rest of it. And I think by doing that and by building their own consumer base, this is another thing. They're going that way. Now, having said that, what we see in America is an enormous budget deficit. Unless you see a sharp increase in savings, that is always reflected in a large trade deficit. Now, temporarily, we know that savings have increased in the sense that people have been locked down, money has been accumulating, and some of them also have been given money by the government into their bank accounts. So there is an increase in savings. But as soon as the lockdown ends and that passes, that money is going to be spent, or the majority of it's going to be spent. Right. And so the trade deficit with China is going to soar. But then we have another problem, which we haven't talked about and we haven't got time to talk about, is the supply chain disruption, which is just messing everything up.
Right. Well, yeah, we will have to leave it go at that. But if what I'm hearing you saying is a deteriorating financial situation in the United States, the massive amount of debasing of the currency is really what is going to undermine our hegemony, our power as America globally. And it's just sort of the Chinese have built up their wealth by producing things, and we've basically thrown our wealth away by consuming things and not saving. We are the consumers of the world. We sort of transferred wealth to China in that process, and now we're not in a very good footing, I guess. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it's a reasonable assessment. There's so many more factors than that.
Of course.
But at the base, yes, that is what has happened.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it go at that. Thank you so much, Alistair, for being with us. Always a pleasure having you, and we'll look to do it again sometime soon, I hope. All right, folks, that's it for this week. Next week, David McIlvaney, Michael Oliver, and Dr. Quentin Henning will be with me. Until then, goodbye, and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.